back to the hard line. Enter at your own risk.
It's badass rockin', badass rockin', badass rockin'. The chick singer is badass rockin'. Midnight gig, cheap trucker speed.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, KFNS, 5-9thefan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe with John Hadley, Matt Rocchio running the board. It is Silent Rock Thursday. That's my favorite Thursday of the month. Q sitting in learning the board for us, and our other co-host, who is on remote location because he is the voice of your Slew Billikens, Bob Ramsey, joining us. Now, before we dive into some Slew talk, I want to discuss the if for some reason I was the only person in the room who had fully functioning eyes yesterday, but on the other side of the phone line here is some common sense. Bob Ramsey, can you look at the 590 Twitter account, at 590 The Fan, and there is a video of Braden Schenn when he got cut after he hit the wall. I'm going to call it the wall so you can decide what it was. Did he hit the curved glass or did he hit the partition? Aha, you just got the text. You now can open that.
But you don't have the entire
video. Now, wait a minute. Are we saying that he didn't get cut by the stick?
Don't worry about that. Forget the stick. Well, where did his face hit?
His face winds up hitting the partition.
No,
and then
doesn't.
Glances off the glass.
It hits the glass very, very clearly. All listeners, you guys can go right now to 590 The Fan on Twitter at 590.
I'm actually convinced TJ doctored this video somehow because I'm watching it now and it seems pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Not the partition. But no, I feel like you doctored the video because this is a different video from yesterday.
Exactly.
No, it's not.
He did.
It's a different video.
Yeah, I'm a mathematician. I just doctor all the videos, right, Hadley?
No, he did. There's no question. He put the part that he wants. See, I'm looking at this right now, and it's so obvious. It's so obvious. Right into the partition.
Rammer, he's not anywhere close to the divider. Thank you! Some common sense, finally. Finally. And even Rock changed his opinion today when he knew the common sense was on the other side of the phone line. This, Rammer, this is why you cannot leave the show ever again moving forward.
You know what's interesting about that is that we have the ability to do all these things. We're all looking at video that was sent to us at the same time, and even though we came up with different conclusions, that's more of a check on our individual perception sensibilities. But the fact that we can do that is really kind of amazing to me. And
is it amazing that John did not make it 4 seconds without his phone going off before the show started? I'm not kidding. We were in the intro and his phone starts rolling.
Well, of course. Why would we? No, the people that would be calling him now. What radio? What are you talking about?
Chad's
You're
out
on the
radio.
Air. What do you mean? I'm calling you. This is more important.
It is pretty cool. Isn't Twitter great? You're sitting in New York right now. We're sitting in a room. We're all simultaneously watching the same video to tell John he's an idiot.
I'm not sure that's exactly my conclusion, but I'm not going to argue either.
Let's talk a little bit of Slew basketball, shall we? First of all, how was your trip out there? Did everything go nice and smoothly?
Well, we didn't crash.
Okay.
I made sure we weren't on that messed up plane. And
none of the Boeings, huh?
Yeah. And no, I'm not trying to make light of that. That was a pretty serious deal. But
they grounded all those.
Funny.
Yeah, you
start
can't even
thinking
fly
about
one.
Those things.
Sorry, I'm saying they grounded all those planes. You cannot fly one right now.
Yeah, it's and I'm not really a nervous flyer, but I'm not oblivious to the idea that I'm 30 or 40,000 feet in the air either. So, yeah, you start thinking about those things. And but anyway, all that anxiety aside, it was a relatively easy trip. 2 hours in the air and 1 hour from LaGuardia to the hotel. So, we're back in New York.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Now, the St. Louis U Billikens take on a 13-19 Richmond Spiders. I did not know they were the Spiders. I was looking that up today. Slew, you can watch. First of all, you can listen about Ramsey calling the game, or you can watch on NBC Sports Network tonight. Slew favored by 5.5 points. What are the big obstacles tonight, Rammer? By the way, game at 7:30 Central
Two time. Words, Grant Golden. He was the guy. Well, let me just say this. I mentioned it earlier on 590, but I got to say that Richmond took a big dump on the Billiken season in January when they beat the Bills 84-81 at Chaffetz. That is and was unacceptable. Can't happen, yet it absolutely did happen. And one of the reasons was that the Billikens could not stop the Richmond big man, Grant Golden. He had 23 points and 7 rebounds. Like I said, he was unstoppable, and it just set a series of events going that the Billikens couldn't overcome. Defense has been the focus since last Saturday when the Billikens lost at St. Bonaventure. So putting the Atlantic 10 world in order is what the Billikens need to do this evening. Richmond does some nice things offensively. They can score, but they're not a good team. Their record isn't a mirage. They didn't get jobbed 19 times. They are who they are. Their record is emblematic of who Richmond is, and the Billikens must underline that, must beat them. So what they've got to do is be better defensively and get at least representative performances from each of their players. The Billikens are too thin with personnel to have a couple of guys not show up. It's really that simple.
Well, and the Golden kid I still find to be intriguing because he's one of those guys that at a young age had to deal with a heart issue. In fact, he had surgery at one point in time in his life. I think it was an accelerated heart rate that he was dealing with, Bob.
Unless you're playing against him, he's really fun to watch. A great passer with really terrific feet and good moves. He had 23 points and 7 rebounds against the Billikens, but moreover, he's just a handful because if you want to double team him, he can pass out of the double team, and he's always on the move. His one, hesitate to call it a weakness, because nobody's perfect. His one thing is he doesn't really embrace physical play, and if the Bills can be physical without getting into foul trouble, that might be their best way to go.
Well, and what your analysis of the kid, you know, goes to show that he does come from a basketball family. His pops played at Fairfield. I think his brother still plays at Butler. I know
his
both
brothers
his,
at Butler. Yes,
yeah, I know both his grandparents were athletes.
I played college football.
Yeah, I just don't know if I would go as far as what you're saying about beating up a guy with a heart problem. That's all. I mean, I just. Damn, sometimes you can be rough.
Yeah, that seems
we're
like
keeping a... score. Hey, we're all out there keeping score.
17 points per game, 6'10", big man. Doesn't miss too many shots there. He's hitting over 50% of his field goals. Obviously, we're not able to slow him down too much in the first meeting. Is there something game plan-wise that would be done any differently from SLU tonight?
Yeah, they're going to do it differently. And they are going to handle it differently. The other thing is they've got to adjust because Richmond runs a variation of the Princeton offense. So a lot of times you have to change a little bit of what your defensive principles are. And I think you'll see the Billikens throw 2 or 3, maybe 4 different looks at Richmond to try and keep them guessing instead of keeping you defensively back on your heels. So I think I think they've got a few things to throw at the Richmond offense today. And like I say, you've got to get it done on the offensive side as well. Having said that, the Bills did score 81 points against Richmond. So it's kind of offense versus defense in this game. And the Billikens really, it's really that must win deal.
Yeah, you said underline must win this one. We were talking off the air last week sometime. We were talking about what a successful run through this tournament would be. What would you project that to be? Obviously a win tonight, and then from here, what would that look like? To be satisfied, obviously you wouldn't win it, but to be satisfied and say, look, that you know they lost to a better team at some point.
If you could win tonight and tomorrow and get into Saturday and be competitive, that'd be decent. Could you get to the championship game and be competitive? That'd be really good. And obviously the ultimate is winning the whole deal. I think I think if you win tonight and then fall short against Dayton, I think you'll still have a bad taste in your mouth. I don't know if I'm making sense with that. Even though Dayton's a very good team, they're a higher seed, you know, they split with the Billikens. I think everybody would end the season pretty disappointed. But you beat them and get into the league Final Four, I think you said, okay, we've done some things.
Good stuff. Let's while we have you here, unless you got to go, talk a little baseball. Can we throw some baseball questions at you?
Always.
Oh, fantastic. Harrison Bader has 3 steals today. It is the 6th inning. Give me the over-under on the amount of steals you expect out of Harrison Bader. Not hope for. Tommy Pham thought he was going 30-30 last year. How many do you expect out of Harrison Bader this season?
I'll set the over-under at 24.5.
Okay. And will you take the over?
That's where you get to the hopeful part. When you said don't be hopeful, you know, what do you think? I would be hopeful to take the over, but not a lot over because it's a different game these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think the max I would set somewhere in the 30s.
Yeah, and as we've seen, the dude can run, but it is not the same game that it used to be. So the
and truth be told, in today's game, saying a guy is going to rip near 30 is legit. I mean, back in our day, Bob, that was nothing. You had 6 players on the team doing it. Now, for a guy to get 30, he's considered to be a very legit base stealer.
Now, and then you get to the metrics of it, which I really embrace on this. When I was a kid, even before you were a kid, John, when I was a kid, if you were successful 2/3 of the time, it was worth stealing. You know,
right.
Then it got to be, then, you know, as we got into the mid late 80s, you need to be successful about 70% of the time. It's literally not worth it if you're not successful 80% of the time.
And that's
you're
right where Bader
your team if you're not that successful because of all the power in the game.
Yeah, and that's Bader's right around that 80% mark.
Yeah, and he's got to be, because if you start to fall below that, then you're hurting the club and hurting opportunities to score.
I am reading from Derek Gould here, and it seems as if Brett Cecil will probably start the – we're going to have to get used to this. Thanks, John. You can go ahead and silence your phone. No big deal. We're going to have to get used to this. He is probably going to start the season on IL, the injured list, instead of the DL now, because that is a little bit weird. I'm not a PC police, but it was a little weird that we're calling people disabled when they just had a sore arm. Anyway, he's on the injured list, but it has not been good for him. He was on the backfields recently, left frustrated. He did not allow a hit to a minor leaguer, but he totaled an unofficial count of 15 balls and 12 strikes, including a walk, 1 hit batter, and 1 wild pitch that allowed a runner to score. Cecil, I the bullpen, the way it's filling out, if Carlos Martinez happens to be ready, or certainly will be ready shortly thereafter, and they decide to go bullpen route with him, and how Mike Schilt said yesterday, again, reinforced that they're thinking 12 pitchers, I'll tell you, I'm not convinced that Cecil makes this roster.
He does not make the roster. This is the station where you get honest opinions. He's probably finished. So you owe him a bunch of money, so why not try? You might as well keep trying to work him. Now, the mistake would have been trying to do that and activating him and having him on the big league roster and taking the place of somebody who could actually help you. So the dude's probably finished. You don't root against him. If he's not hurting the big club, let him do whatever he can, extended spring training, go to Memphis, so long as he's not holding back a kid, and try and figure it out. You're paying him the money, so the club and the player, might as well try and figure a way to get something out of that contract. But I think there's a reasonable chance that for whatever reason, he's probably finished.
What is the reason? We've looked at his stuff, and he had, you know, it's, you actually look at his pre-Cardinal statistics versus his post-Cardinal statistics. They're actually fairly similar in a lot of areas. The difference, obviously, is that he worked some as a starter early on in his career, so it's not apples to oranges. It's apples to oranges a little bit there. But how do you just fall apart? Come from a guy that signed a 4-year, $15 million deal, or if 7.5 million a year. So he's making in the $30 million range, $7.5 million a year, and you still got to eat 2 years of that. How do you just drop off to nothing? I mean, I know relievers have a propensity to do that a little bit more, but this was a serious fall.
What happens frequently, and he seems to fit the profile, but I don't want to say it for sure because I don't know him. I don't think I've ever interviewed him or talked to him. But what happens frequently is a relief pitcher in particular will get to a point that they completely lose their confidence, and then what's messed with their head starts to mess with their physical performance. In layman's terms, they're afraid to throw a strike because they know it's going to get crushed. And then they can't throw a strike. And that happens a lot. But it starts with losing your confidence in yourself.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with Cecil is that he probably had his worst season as a reliever the year before the Cardinals signed him.
Yeah, and they were banking literally on a bounce back that obviously didn't occur.
Yeah. So I mean, my point is though, DJ, I think there were signs that there was something amiss at the Circle K prior to walking in the door.
I am going through some of the pitching stuff. I think the odds-on favorite today, I know it's not a done deal, down to Gant and Dakota Hudson to fill that fifth spot. I think I would put my money on Dakota Hudson. He's got a 2.53 ERA in 10 2/3 innings pitched in four games this spring. Gant has not been bad. He's got a 4.00 ERA in 9 innings. Dakota Hudson's looked good, and it's interesting because this is the one guy that when John Mozeliak was asked during the winter warm-up, who's the guy nobody's talking about? He's like, I don't know why nobody's talking about Dakota Hudson. That kid's going to be out there.
Yeah, if it would take some sort of disaster for him not to be the fifth starter, in my opinion. Gant, is a good player and can help you in various roles, and so it's good to have him. But I think Hudson is the guy they need, and he's a little bit he's another right-hander, but he also gives you a little bit different look than the other guys in the rotation. And then his success so far, he's earned it. So, again, barring some sort of disaster in the last 2 weeks here, I think, or last, 10 days, I think that he's the fifth guy. I agree.
Jack Flaherty, in 13 innings pitched this spring, has 19 strikeouts. He has a 2.77 ERA. Do you think as he progresses here, he's got a chance to be one of the top 10 pitchers in the National League this year?
I do. I do, with no equivocation. He is a stud, and if he, number one, if he stays healthy, his progress will be there, and there's no reason why he can't be one of the best pitchers in the league for a long time. Again, health with pitchers is always a concern, but if he stays healthy, he should have a long career.
I'll back up for 1 second because I'll sink at your notion on Hudson, because as much as Flaherty is being discussed, not only locally but nationally, and with his preseason to date, I'm not so sure that Dakota Hudson hasn't been equally as impressive as Flaherty this spring.
You know, and because you are astute follower of the game, because he doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, sometimes the average media hack doesn't think a guy is dominant.
TJ.
But, no, I didn't. But
you inferred it, though. You didn't say it, but you sure inferred it, Bob.
And the metrics guys are all about strikeouts. Well, even Bob Gibson, who had over 3,000 strikeouts, would say, I'd rather get a guy out with one pitch than have to go 4, 5, 6, or 7 to strike him out. And, Hudson has been a ground ball machine, and if he can stay that course, he'll be very, very effective. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Do you think you'll see Ryan Helsley this year? I know he was sent down. He's not going to be part of the opening day roster, and he did struggle. 5.79 ERA and only 4.2 innings pitched in his four games there. But he's a guy that they have really, really high hopes for. I know whoever likelihood of, being the Gomber, maybe that sixth guy that we saw over the years. Weaver was the sixth man up that was down in AAA. Then it was Flaherty. Who do you think he has a chance to be that starting pitcher in waiting upon injury?
I think if I was betting on what would happen to him this year, at some point when the second lefty, no names needed, everybody knows who those potential guys are. We already talked about one of them. So the other guys, as they are, and I'm not rooting against them, but as they are ineffective, at some point the Cardinals will go to Helsley and he'll be the second lefty behind Miller.
Interesting.
That's my prediction.
Yeah, Austin Gomber has struggled quite a bit, a 10.29 ERA in three appearances.
But he'll get a chance, I think, to go back to Memphis, figure it out. He's too good to be that bad.
Yeah, well, he's allowed five home runs.
I'm very confident that he'll figure it out, and he'll be available as a backup starter to be called up. That's my prediction for him.
So give us your opening day surprise on the roster when they announce the 25-man. What's the big surprise going to be that we didn't see coming? Give us a bold prediction.
Wow, it'll be whoever that backup infielder is will be a little bit of a surprise because I don't really have a handle on it, and I don't know that I'll be surprised, but I think it'll be a mistake if Munoz doesn't make the opening day roster, and he may be a casualty, and I think that will be a surprising mistake.
John?
You know who I think is going to be a shocker somehow, some way?
Dexter Fowler's going to shock the world.
No, remember? I think somehow, some way, Drew Robinson's going to be on this baseball team.
Oh, that would be horrible.
He might take the spot that I think Munoz should have. We'll see. I think it's a good call.
That would just be a disgrace. He is a career 204 hitter that does nothing. He was born left-handed, so you're going to hand him a job that Munoz has earned.
That's my fear.
John?
I just said what I said when I said it.
I am trying to look up Robinson's stats for this spring.
And as you do that, they don't have an obvious left-handed pinch hitter, and that's the problem that they're worried about. But I'd rather have a right-hander who can flat hit than a guy who's up there because lefties are supposed to hit righties better.
Drew Robinson, 31 at-bats, 11 strikeouts, and has an OPS of 597. That'll play, right?
He don't pack the gear.
Well, that's sort of a God-given thing. You really can't. Well, I mean, with technology, I guess you could probably change that. But
not without surgery, you can't. Rammer, thank you for putting up with us. Well, you were supposed to be on vacation here, at least a vacation from us, and doing a job that you actually take, that people around you take seriously.
Let's go, Bills!
Yeah, it'll be it, this is one tonight. It's a must-win, and we'll see how it goes this evening. It should be a real good one. NBC Sports, Sports Network will have it on TV, and Earl and I will bring you all the action you want. So everybody, fingers crossed, and plus it's a big day in Mizzou and Illinois. All three teams that probably aren't as good as everybody had hoped they would be all got something to play for today.
Yeah.
And you know what, Bob? Especially with these kids, a lot of these kids have worked their butt off. They put in the extra minutes. They haven't had a lot of depth. I'd like to see these kids go out with a couple nice wins. Just
be real nice. You know? Absolutely right. Absolutely right. The effort's there. Thanks, guys.
Rammer, thanks, buddy. We'll see you soon. Bob Ramsey, voice here, Slew Bilkins, who is, I don't know why, John, he would put up with us when he got 3 days off of work to go do anything but listen to us, and he chose voluntarily, I think, unless you coerced him as the boss, to jump on with us and put up with our nitwittery.
No,
just took one text.
Pro's a pro.
He is a pro. I'm not a pro. So we do have Hockey Bob says, is 31 MLB at-bats really a good gauge to judge a batter by? Well, Hockey Bob, that was this spring, and as I have told you and actually led up with this, he is a career 204 hitter. So he is actually a worse career hitter than he's showing this spring, and he has had 216 career at-bats when he has a 204 batting average. In 2018, he had 109. He was a 183 batting average guy who slugged 294 and had an OPS of 582. that OPS plus was right around where Dexter Fowler was.
By the by, sometime, well, maybe tomorrow. I think Mike Iupati is a very interesting ad for Seattle. With the issues they've had on the offensive line, with their lack of physicality, how much a kid, well, he's not a kid anymore. Well, to me, he's a kid. How much he has left, I don't know. Interesting signing, though, for Seattle.
Yes.
Now, if there is one thing you know you're getting out of your potty, he's going to bang on you. He's going to hit you. He's going to wear you down. He's going to let you know he's been there.
The angry cabbie says Gant is out of options. He has to go to the bullpen because he faces the waiver wire that they send him down. I think that's true, although I think they would like to keep him stretched out because he's a guy that could go back and forth similar to what he did last year as a potential starter. I think Chasen Shreve is also out of options. And so there's a couple of guys they got to work around.
You'd be a good guy for that.
Chasen Shreve?
No, you'd be a good guy to stretch somebody out.
I don't get it. Splashback Deuce would like to bet you a hot dog that Bader gets over 25 steals, John. The Cards might crap themselves if he gets injured.
No. Once again, I mean, you have to listen. You people have to listen.
Nope.
The insight, the analysis, the incredible stuff I bring is lost if you're not paying attention. I simply said when Bob Ramsey said, or TJ said it at 30 stolen bases.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Is it? That's it. That would be an impressive accomplishment. 30 stolen bases, and nowadays, just for the love of God, what?
Look what Q wrote. I'm just saying. It was
unbelievable.
Rude.
Unbelievable. I'm just saying, I said it was an impressive accomplishment. How am I saying Bader's going to steal less than 25? I think Bader's probably right around 25.
The Bo Weevil of Beville Mill makes a good point.
You got to listen, people.
He says, guys, I really wish the Cardinals would have signed Daniel Descalso instead of trading Wisdom to the Rangers for the left-handed hitter. Descalso bats left, plays multiple positions, former Cardinal and teammate of Paul Goldschmidt. Disappointed that Mo didn't pull the trigger. Bad nod move.
Disappointed that Bowie with Bebo Mill has taken enough time to send in that exact same text like 20 times across shows because it's Daniel Descalso, man. Like,
it's better than really? Drew Robinson. He's right. Drew Robinson,
really?
He batted 183 last year. He's a career 204 guy, and he's
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm saying banging the drum that hard for Daniel Descalso is...
Descalso's a likable cat. What do you want?
I respect the commitment of Cardinal fans in this city, and this is a great example.
Splashback Deuce chiming in again. I didn't say I'd bet Hadley directly. I just used his favorite form of currency. A hot dog.
Well, and I know. Well, what did I have for lunch today?
Two hot dogs and a hamburger. And you kept talking about how glorious it was to have a hot dog and a hamburger together.
Yes, because it took me back to the day. Do you remember, Q, when you did you play Little League ball? You had a little barbecue afterwards? What'd you eat? Hot dogs and hamburgers. I was going back to my childhood.
John, you didn't have a childhood. You started working at age 14 because you got a girl pregnant and life went on.
Something, something uphill both ways. Something, something.
You got paid minimum wage at four different jobs and somebody's mad about something.
Something, something. Child labor laws are actually destroying this company. Something,
nobody
something.
Knows anything.
I had a job at a leather mill at nine.
You millennials.
Something.
And you're all fat. Anyway, Raphael from mybookie.ag coming up next. Via, everybody.